Okay, let's just finish up very briefly the sugya that we're in the middle of. The Gemara asks, how are you mashlim? You can't use the bread, because that's the suit of the day. And we saw, aside from the Rav Yomsum Lunil, who had a weird cheat who said we're actually talking about Shana Rabbah, and the meaning is that you can't use it for Tashlumin because you have to eat it in sukkah anyway. And aside from the Rav Ivan, who said, what they mean is that you can't use it for Tashlumin because it's Shemini Atzeres and it's Baal Tosef to eat bread in the sukkah. Because that's Achilas Kevin, it's Baal Tosef to eat in the sukkah. Those were minority shitas. The mainstream shita, all the Rishonim said, because of some lack of hecker, after all, that's the Pshat of the Gemara. It's the suit of the day. So therefore, how can it be Tashlumin if it's the suit of the day? We just saw a difference between Rashi and the Rambam versus the Ritva. As what does this mean? Rashi and the Rambam says that it's some hecker of the chiv of the day, the first bread meal you have. The first bread meal you have is, you can't count it as two things because objectively it just looks like it's the meal of the day. And therefore, you can have a second bread meal or you can have mini targima. The Ritva said, on the other hand, no. Even if you have two bread meals, that's still the suit of the day. Because apparently he thinks it's not enough to have a hecker that it's more than the chiyuv of the day. You even need a hecker that it's more than the kiyum of what someone might want to eat that day. And therefore, even two sudas, it might just be not a matter of what someone sees as much as just what objectively. It objectively could just be you're very hungry that day. And therefore, you need to eat mini targima. How does mini targima solve that problem? Maybe you're just hungry for mini targima. So the Ritva ended with, this is the last thing we said, very cleverly, he says, if you have two bread meals, then mimanafshach. If you have one bread meal, bench and wash and say, I'm multi, and have another bread meal right away, then that's an iser brach shena tricha. If you have one bread meal, wait an hour and have another one, then it's just being hungry again. So there's no hecker that it's tashlumin. But mini targima, you can have a bread meal and then bench and right away eat the mini targima, and that's not a problem brach shena tricha. And therefore, but it's yet obvious you're doing tashlumin, because how could you be hungry right after your bench? Okay, those are the different approaches that we left off with.
If
you hold there's no chiyav of sudas yantif, then Tosos have to say. But even though the Tosos would probably say, even though there's no chiyav sudas yantif, since everyone it's normal to have the sudas yantif, therefore you need a hecker. That's not just your normal meal. Okay, so what does the Gemara say in the end? And this is going to be very halacha l'maisa. Elama yashlim, yashlim targima. Okay, fine. So for tashlumin, you use mine targima. Tanginami hachim, hishlim bine targima yaksa. There's also brights that you can be mashlim with mine targima. This whole discussion, how are you mashlim with bread or with mine targima? This whole discussion. So it could be this whole discussion is only within Rabbi Eliezer. But I'll point out, however, that according to most Rishonim, this discussion might apply to the Chachamim also, that this discussion might apply to the Chachamim also. So it could be that the Chachamim might admit that you can be mashlim during Chol HaMoed, just not as Shmini Atzeres. In which case, then even for the Chachamim, you'd have to ask how to be mashlim, and you could say you're mashlim b'mini targima. So that's one thing that's not so clear. The Chachamim say you can't be mashlim, or that you can't be mashlim on Shmini Atzeres. But maybe that's only once Shmini Atzeres is here. Right? So that is... No, Kamashlim the first. Right. Okay, so that's unclear. Lemaise, we seem to assume that the Chacham holding can't be Mashlim at all, and this is only for Rabbi Eliezer. But you could say that even the Chacham agree you can be Mashlim during Chol HaMoed, just not in Shemini Atzeres, because it's not Sukkos anymore. In which case, then this would also go according to the Chacham. Okay, let's get to the Halacha Lemaise. What are these Mini Targima that you're Mashlim with? So here we have... three different shitas. According to, give me one shita. What are mina targima?
Peiros.
Don't give me Rashi yet. I know Rashi is supposed to be in this posture, but he's actually very hard. Okay. Who says mina targima are peiros? Who says it means peiros? Stam, mina targima means peiros. Does anyone say that? Stam, that mina targima means peiros, like that simple? No one? Really? No one says it means peiros? Okay.
You didn't want that.
The Rav Yah. The Rav Yah says, what did the Rav Yah just say? He said that I have on the sheet I will translate it for you. That was the second opinion in the Gemara in Yoma. Apparently he follows the second opinion in the Gemara in Yoma. And he says, what does it mean in Targima? It means Peros. Okay, why is Rashi similar to that? By the way, the Yichusei Tanan Bar Maram also says Peros, but I didn't put that on the sheet because, you know, we don't all have it. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says, mina targima means la'achar shesilek, after you finish your meal, yavir paperos, umadarin, you'll bring all kinds of delicacies, you want peros, v'kissin, kafirin, v'shalos, like peros, and desserts, peros and kissin, according to Rashi, seems to mean like roasted grains, popcorn, and kaflutzas mufshalos, and cooked leeks. I guess these were, I don't know, things that people would eat. So Rashi also mentions peros here. So what are mine targima? So one shita is the Rav Yah says peros, and Rashi also seems to also say peros, vikisnin, vikaflotos. Okay, you could easily see the main thing he's pointing at is peros. Okay, what's Tosa's objection? What's Tosa's objection to Rashi? Peros are potter from sukkah, so how can they count as tashlumin if they're achilas arai? Peros are by definition achilas arai. They're not chayv in sukkah, so how can they count as tashlumin? So therefore, what does Tosa say that targima means? It means food you eat with bread, meal foods. Food you eat with bread, right? What does Tosa say? Peros, because of the center, he says, can't be, because peros don't need a sukkah. And the Gemara says, peros don't need a sukkah, but mine targima do. So obviously, mine targima are not peros. So he says, that's what the Gemara says. Well, hold on. If peros needed a sukkah, you'd mash them with peros. Obviously, peros are part of sukkah. Only mine targima is high in sukkah, so you're mashing mine targima. So Tosa says, boss of a dog, mashar dvarm shvalaftim and sapas. It's meat and fish and things that you eat for a meal with bread. It's not the bread, but it's meal foods that you eat with bread. Right? That's the shita of Tosos, and that's also the shita of the Ra'ah here, and the shita of the Ritva here. And, interestingly, Rashi in Yoma just translates Targima as liftan. Liftan reminds us of Rav Shem Laftin Bahem Etapat, right? Also, sounds like, so here we have Tosos says, Basar Vidagim Dvarim, meaning meal foods. Shem laftim bahem es hapas. And likewise, the Ra'ah and the Ritva here. And Rashi in Yoma, who says liftan. Sounds that way as well. Okay, why Rashi and Yoma and Sukkah don't say the same thing, we'll get back to. Is there a third opinion as to what mina targima means? Is there a third opinion as to what mina targima means? What? Who says it means mizonos? What? The Tosfos Yeshanim in Yoma, on the side in Yoma, says it means mizonos. And the Rush in the back of the Gemara, the Rush says, some people want to say basar v'dagim, etc. is chayiv in sukkah, because mina targima. But it's not so pashy, because I have proofs from brachos that mina targima means mizonos. The tricky part is mina targima appears a few places in Shas. It doesn't have to mean the same thing every place in Shas. That's what makes it a little tricky. But the Rush in the back here it sounds the same way. So here we have the Tosfos Yeshanim in Yoma and the Rush in Sukkah. It says what we call mizonos, right? They don't use the word mizonos, I think. I think on the days that we showed them, mizonos meant the bracha, not the food. But what we call mizonos? Masekadera. Right. Chamish mine dagon. Green foods, right? Things you make mizonos on. Right. Okay, so these are the three main shitas of mina targima. Now, what is the main, what does it say? Let's just review what it says in the Gemara in Yoma. What does it say in the Gemara in Yoma? Let's review the Shakotarya outside. Rava says, Peri doesn't need sukkah, right? Peri doesn't need sukkah. And what proof did they bring for Rava? The proof is that your mashlim b'mina targima, your mashlim b'mina targima, but not with peros. Why? Because mina targima needs sukkah and peros doesn't. And then, so Rava says, peri lo ba'i sukkah. I forget the exact lashon, but something along those lines, right? Yeah. Peiros don't need sukkah, right? You can eat peiros outside the sukkah as much as you want, even more than a kibitza, even as much as you want, is the assumption of all the poskim that I've seen, is unlimited amounts of peiros you can eat outside of the sukkah. And peiros lo bayis sukkah. And then they say, leimam seyele, im hishlem minitagima yatza. Right? And then, what's the siyua? The siyua was that your mashlim bimine targima below bepeiros. Why? Because mine targima needs sukkah, and peiros don't need sukkah. Right? That's the siyua. So it's clear they're understanding that mine targima are things that are not peiros and need sukkah. Which works for 2 and 3. Not so well for number 1. And then what's the dechia? The dechia of the siyua for Rava. By the way, everyone passing like Rava, remember, except for the Rambam and Mochamos, and maybe one or two other sheep does, but we basically passing like Rava, right? Forget the Mochamos, we passing like Rava. Right, what's the dechia? The dechia is that maybe you can be mashlim bepeiros. Maybe you can be mashlim bepeiros.
Yeah.
And peiros need sukkah. Oh, so why do you say mashlim bina targima?
Right.
And they said mashlim bina targima either. Targima equals peiros. Maybe targima means peiros, which obviously is not the plain meaning. Or in a place without peiros. So really, you can be mashal with peiros. Why did they say targima? Either targima means peiros, which is like a dechia, it's not the pasuk pshat. Or in a place without peiros, you use targima. But really, you can be mashal with peiros. What's the obvious link here? That if peiros are patur sukkah, you can't be mashlim with peiros, only with mina targima. If peiros are chayiv in sukkah, then you can be mashlim with peiros. We paskin peiros are patur sukkah, so you can be mashlim with mina targima. So what's the psak? The psak is, that's how we paskin, like Rava, that peiros, that, well, let's, we paskin. Like Rava, the peiros don't need sukkah, so you can't be mashlim with peiros. That's Tosfos Kasha on Rashi. Okay, that's Tosfos Kasha on Rashi. Right? Which needs sukkah, right? Half needs sukkah, you need sukkah. So Tosfos says, what needs sukkah? Dvarim shemalachtim is a pas meal foods. And the Rosh says, what needs sukkah? Mezonos needs sukkah. So here we have a machlokas, right? By the way, this is a machlokas halacha lemaisa. What needs sukkah besides bread? For sure, something needs sukkah besides bread called mina targima. What is that? Is it only mezonos that needs sukkah? Or is it even meal foods that need sukkah? So this is a big machlokas in the machaber paskins like the Rosh, that only mezonos needs sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah says we should be machmir, like the Tosfos here, that meal foods need sukkah. Halacha l'maisa, it really seems that more Rishonim agree to number 2 than to number 3. Really seems that more Rishonim interpret mina targima as meal foods than as mezonos. That's the Tosfos Rishonim and the Rosh, but Tosfos and the Ritva interpret as meal foods. And we pointed out the Rambam just says peiros are patur. He didn't say what's chayiv. The diak would be everything besides peiros would be chayiv, right? The Rambam never says mini targima. He never interprets mini targima. Actually, it's not true. He, in the Pirush HaMishnah here, he does interpret mini targima. In the Kapach version, has a better translation, and he says it means parparos. But he doesn't say what kind of parparos. Parparos just means appetizers. He doesn't say what kind of parparos, and therefore it's hard to prove anything. But I would put Pshat of the Rambam like this. All right, so let's put in parentheses. The Rambam, why? We pointed out at the time, or Rabbeinu Manoach said this. He says peiros or potter, never says what's chayev. The good deal could be anything that's more than peiros is chayev. Tashdus, meat is more than peros. Okay, so the halacha l'maisa, there are some people out there who are making the everything but mazonos outside the sukkah, like the Rosh and Tosi Shannon, but that does not seem to be the majority opinion. That seems to be a minority opinion. More Rishonim hold, including Tosos on the daf, that no, you can eat peros outside the sukkah, but you can't eat meal foods outside the sukkah. In which case, okay, I wouldn't make a bracha if I went into the sukkah and just took a bite of meat, you know, and had a piece of meat, just because maybe it's not chayiv in sukkah, and I want to be nizer bracha batala, as the Mishnah Berurah says. But the Mishnah Berurah is right. You really have to be nizer. It's really not right to be makel and eat meal foods out there, like to go to a picnic and eat meal foods outside the sukkah. It's really not right to be makel that way, because you're against all those Rishonim. Number two says those are meaning targima that need sukkah, like Tosfos on the daf. Really, if you want to go out and eat something outside the sukkah, you should only bring peros, which are snack foods, meaning, or not all snack foods, but non-mazono snack foods like popcorn and fruits and candies, but not meal foods. Okay.
Maker didn't even pass like the Russian Tosfos Shishonim.
Then that the machaber pass like the Russian Tosfos Shishonim. The Mishnah Berurah says to be machaber like Tosfos and the Rifa.
Within also with the Russian Tosfos Shishonim.
Yeah, yeah. By the mazonos, you shouldn't eat outside the sukkah.
You need to say popcorn.
What?
You meant to say popcorn.
Yeah, popcorn's.
It's from corn, though.
First of all, corn is not mazonos, and second of all, popcorn is kloyos. It's not a maisa kedera. Uh-huh. I mean, if popcorn was made of wheat, it wouldn't be mazonos. It would be hadam.
But there's puffed wheat there.
Yeah, so puffed wheat is hadama, right? Shalva, whatever. Puffed wheat is hadama. I mean, we only eat it with a lot of sugar. But yeah, puffed wheat is hadama. So I think, and the Rambam says, kloyos are potter from sukkah. That's kloyos. So I did mean to say popcorn, even popped barley and wheat and spelt and oats and rye, if it would be good. All those things would be good. I think are peros. Because they're not mazonos, they're hadama. Okay, but to have like, you know, to say I could go outside the sukkah and I'll just have like meat and, you know, meat and potatoes, that's against most Rishonim. What?
The
potatoes
are favorite.
No, they're not. They're from a laugh pass.
Did you Tosfos made a bracha on
basar? I think Tosfos did make a bracha on basar, yeah. I think for sure he made a bracha on basar. Because Tosfos held that was mini targima, and you're mashal with it. Yeah, I'm...
So what?
Just in case the rush is right, we don't make a bracha on basar.
So maybe in case the Tosfos is right, oh no, yes, he would also agree to himself.
Yeah, I think he would also agree, yeah. Okay,
Can Tosfos differentiate between eating meat as part of a meal with bread, and now you're having this as an additional part of the meal that's its own chayiv because of the bread, now this will be included in that chayiv, versus meat that you just have if you're just eating jerky or a random...
I don't think so, because based on the Gemara in Yoma, it's talking about what itself is chayiv or not. The Gemara in Yoma is like, are peiros themselves chayiv, and then chayiv bar sugya. So clearly we're not saying what you're saying. Okay, now, let me just see, what do you do about Rashi? How do you defend Rashi? Rashi's strange, because how could Rashi say peiros if peiros are chayiv from sukkah, and it's clear in the Gemara? The what's pshat on Rashi? So how do you answer Tosfos kash on Rashi? So here, you have to see there's a few ways, I think there's only three ways to answer Tosfos kash on Rashi, right? So, answer Tosfos' question on Rashi. So, the Me'iri gives one way. Says the Me'iri, the peros of Rashi is not the ikker. He really meant the kistin v'kaplotot. Okay, you have to ask what kistin means here, according to Rashi, but the Me'iri is assuming kistin is some serious meal food. He added kaflotot. Sounds like a meal food to me. I don't know. Boiled leek heads sounds more like a meal head to me, but what a meal food to me, what do I know? He says, really, Rashi, the peros lavdaf, he was just describing what people eat. Peros and kistin and kaflotos. But the hashlama was the kistin and kaflotos, not in the peros. That's what the Me'iri says. So says the Me'iri, he says, the peros is not halachically significant. Only the kisnin that kaflotos are. So why did Rashi mention peros? He was just mentioning what people like to eat. They like to eat peros with their kisnin and kaflotos. But the peros aren't the kashlama. Like the peros are included in the word meaning targima. He's saying the word meaning targima are what people eat for meaning targima, including peros. But the hashlama of mini targima is the kissin with kaflotos.
Right? So the peros are within the dictionary definition of meaning targima, about how lucky part of meaning targima is the kiss and the kaflotos. So Rashi is really the same as Tosos, right? So in the dictionary, there's a machlokas Rashi and Tosos. But in the halacha, Rashi is the same as Tosos. Right? He's saying kissed in the kaflotos are meal foods like basar v'dagim. And the peros are just stuck in because that's what people used to eat when they ate meat and karima. Okay, in which case, not so exciting. The Pnei Yoshua has a different shot in Rashi.
The Pnei Yoshua suggests,
he says, hold on a second. How do you know we paskin like Rava that peros are potter from Sukkah? How do you know we paskin peros are potter from Sukkah? Maybe we paskin peros are chayiv in Sukkah. Or maybe, after all, the Ramban paskin peros are chayiv in Sukkah, even though he's a Das Yachid. Right, we saw the Maharam was also Machmir, but that could have just been because the Maharam was always Machmir about things like growing up Leal.
You also told us, say, the Balamor based on the Rif.
No.
Balamor, Milokas of a Rif, Mashmir Milokas of a Kain, but you know, Shikam Peri Boy Sukkah.
Okay.
And told us to you, we did this with you.
Okay, I don't
remember. Underlined it.
Okay, you'll show me later. Okay. Anyway, he says maybe Rashi here was paskening like the mandor where the peros need sukkah, in which case, of course, you can be masking with peros, or at least taking into account, he says, and let me cover the mandor amar that peros need sukkah. So says the Pnei Yoshua that Rashi here, and that explains why Rashi here says something different than Rashi and Yoma. Rashi and Yoma is the mandor where peros don't need sukkah, so meaning targima is lift on. Rashi here is aliva. The Manda Omar, Peri Boi Sukkah. Remember, there is another Manda Omar. The Ramban even paskins like that way. So maybe Rashi passes that way, or if not, he's at least a leave it at that Manda Omar, Peri Boi Sukkah. So, Peros count as Hashlama. Right? That could very well be. That's very possible. It could be Rashi leaving that Manda Omar. Yeah?
It also fits, I mean, the Tanishu himself points out Rashi in the Mishnah by the Sanjos. He says, why Rashi the example?
Right. Why did Rashi say if you want to be potter from sukkah, you should fast? Why not just say you should eat peros? The answer is maybe Rashi and our sugya, being broadly defined, our Mishnah and Gemara holds up peros. Okay. However, there is another possibility. The Pnei Yoshua is also Merami's too, which is what about the Rav Yah? The Rav Yah wrote that targima means peros. Yet the Rav Yah said in just the previous siman, he said, I'll read you. Peros mocho lefel kotz l'sukkah filu keva. You can eat as much peros as you want outside the sukkah. The Rav Yah explicitly in Simon Tuf Reish Lamed Vav, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Tuf Reish Lamed Vav says peros are bought from sukkah, and in Tuf Reish Lamed Zion says you're mashal with mina targima, which means peros. So obviously he held it to be mashal with peros, even though they're bought from sukkah. So the second part is that, according to the Rav Yah, I don't know if he got it from Rashi or not, but according to the Rav Yah, Peros don't need sukkah, but you can be mashlim bepeiros anyway, even though they don't need sukkah. Right? And this is not, so maybe Rashi holds like the Rav Yah. Maybe Rashi holds like the Rav Yah. We don't know. There are two other explanations for Rashi. But maybe Rashi holds like the Rav Yah. We don't know. It's possible. And it's not only the Rav Yah. The Me'iri quotes a Yesh Omer that you can mash on something that's potter from Sukkah. And that Yesh Omer is Rabbi Yonah Sumi Lunil. Remember, Rabbi Yonah Sumi Lunil says the Hashlam is on Hashanah Rabbah. And you can't use something chayiv in Sukkah because then it's not extra. You have to use something potter from Sukkah to be extra. So, and we would also add the Rabbi Yonah Sumi Lunil, who is quoted in the Me'iri, not by name, obviously, but let's quote it by name. Huva b'meiri, gam kein savar, she'efshar lehashlim, b'ma'achal, she'eino tzarech sukkah. He also holds you can be mashlim with something that doesn't need sukkah. So you could say that we paskin, you can be mashlim with something that's potter min sukkah. Ah, that's against the mefurish gemara. In yom adaf ayin tes amud beis, right? Against the Gemara in Yoma Daf Ayin Tesamid Beis. What gives us the right to go against the Gemara in Yoma Daf Ayin Tesamid Beis? So the Pnei Yeshua hints at this in the end here. What you could just say is that, well, how do you always get out of a line in the Gemara? I mean, we don't try to get it. We try to fulfill lines in the Gemara. But let's say you have to defend the Rav Yah. How do you always get out of a line in the Gemara? You always say, or even before that, that's only at this stage in the Shakla Bataria based on a certain assumption. But in the Maskana, at a different stage of the Shakla Bataria, they change their mind. So that's basically what the Pnei Yeshua says. What do you do with this Gemara? You say that the link between Hashlama and Chiyuv Sukkah is only in the Hava Mina, not in the Maskana. Why do you say that? Because what's the difference between the Hava Mina and the Maskana? What you're saying is very poshut, right? The Hava Mina is that you're Mashlim B'mine Targima, V'eino Mashlim B'peros. The Maskana is that you're Mashlim Bechol Dover Va'afilu Beperos. So, in the Hav Amina, why are you Mashal with Mina Targima not Peros? There must be a difference. What's the only difference? You're Mashal with something Chayim in Sukkah, and you're not Mashal with something that's Potter from Sukkah. But in the Maskana, you can Mashal with anything. So who says that there's any link to Chiyuv Sukkah anymore? Maybe you can Mashal with anything, whether it's Chayim in Sukkah or not. And this is just two ways of reading the Maskana. In the Hav Amina, clearly, Hashlama depends on Chiyuv Sukkah. You can only be mashlim with something Chayiv and Sukkah. Why? Because otherwise, why are you mashlim with X not Y? Why do we discriminate between Mina Tegimah and Peros? Because Mina Tegimah is Sukkah, Peros doesn't. What's the Maskana? Give me a second.
Even that's not totally true, though,
because
you don't need the Shiur.
What? Of course, who says you don't need the Shiur? Maybe you do.
Nobody said it.
Anyway. Maybe it's obvious. Maybe it's obvious. Okay, by the way, what the shear is for Mini Targima is a big machlokes we've shown him. Shear of more than a kibetza or shear of a full meal? Lemaisa, the poskim are not machlokes for more than a kibetza, only for like significant achila. There are two ways to read the Maskana. The way Tosfos and Rov we've shown him read the Maskana is that Hashlama still depends on Chiyuv Sukkah. And therefore, only the Manda Amar Heiri Ba'i Saka holds Mashlimin Beperos. That's why Tosfos Rishon read the Maskana. After the Maskana was, of course, we didn't change our mind that Hashlama, you can only Mashlim something Chayim and Sukkah. Give me a second. You didn't change your mind, you can only mashal with Sotha Chayim and Sukkah. Of course you can only mashal with Sotha Chayim and Sukkah. So why in the Maskana did they make a dechia that you can mashal with Peros? That dechia was mandam repayri boi Sukkah. However, the way the Rav Yon, the Reed Nil, and maybe Rashi, the Ulai Rashi just says that no, le Maskana, there is no link anymore. And therefore, Mashlimin Beperos Likule Alma. That only in the Havamina Hashlama needed something Chayiv and Sukkah. There's a link between what's Chayiv and Sukkah and what you're Mashlim with. Lamaskana, there is no such link. Only in the Hav, why? In the Havamina, the question is whether that link is intuitive or not. Most of you should know that link is intuitive. Of course, you're only Mashlim with something that's important enough to be Chayiv and Sukkah. So in the Havamina, you're Mashlim with meaning Tagima, not Peros, because Peros are Potter. In the Dechia, I shouldn't say Maskana, I should say Dechia, right? Because it's not Maskana, correct? In the Dechia, you're mashlim with Peros because Peros are Chayiv and Sukkah, and that Dechia is only if you hold Peros are Chayiv and Sukkah, which is who they were trying to defend. But the really Lunil and Rav Yon Rashi would say, no, in the Havmin, we're Nidchak to say you need to be mashlim with something Chayiv and Sukkah to explain why we discriminate between Targim and Peros. In the Maskana, we go back and say you can be mashlim with anything, whether it's Chayiv and Sukkah or not. And therefore, everyone agrees you're mashal with Peros, whether they're Chayim and Sukkah or not. That's the Rimi Lunil, that is the Rav Yah, and that is maybe a third way to explain Rashi.
Does this go along with what you said before, that there was actually two Tvedinim in the business?
you're saying if the chiyav me'ikara was not so connected to suk in the first place, then it's easier to understand why you break it up. Very good. You should add that to listen up for me. This. Very sure.
Basically, what I was going to ask, but what's to say here that you could be mashlim with something that's not a that's not chayav in sukkah? If the chiyav they're being mashlim is a chiyav of eating a suga in the sukkah.
So I would answer one of two things. Either, like Morty said, maybe the chiyav is not really sukkah; it's just a din yantif. Or remember one side of our chashira.
In that case, you would have to say that you would need something that would be chayav in sukkah.
No. If you took the other side of the chiyav, you say the chiyav of the first night is really not a chiyav of the yeshiva sukkah; it's really a chiyav of a chiyav yantif.
Right.
Then you don't need something that's chayav in sukkah.
For the suga yantif.
The problem is then you might have something that's chayim, and that's a key mitzvah. Matzah would be a problem.
Yeah,
that's tricky. Then you're right, you'd get into a little trouble. Or the other answer could be that, an easier answer, that you don't say what Morty said. Because you could just say that even though something that chayim in sukkah is still a kiyum of yeshiva sukkah, How do we know even a snack that's not chayiv in sukkah is still a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah? Is still good to eat in the sukkah? From the Mishnah of the Tanai, right? Why did Tanai eat snacks in the sukkah? So we see that even a snack is not chayiv in sukkah, but it's still a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, so maybe you can mashlim with something that's not chayiv, because it's the kiyum of yeshiva sukkah.
And being mashlim l'chayiv, though.
What?
How's that success for the mashlim l'chayiv?
How are you mashlim because we're using chayiv in two different ways. I'm not chayiv to eat this in the sukkah, but I'm chayiv to do yeshiva sukkah. Maybe it still counts as yeshiva sukkah, even though it's not an obligatory yeshiva sukkah. And therefore, if I'm chayiv to do yeshiva sukkah, meaning maybe even the first night it could be yotzei with mini targima. Remember? We saw that in Ibai and Rishalmi. And or maybe even with peiros. Maybe the first night it could be yotzei with peiros. After all, the chayiv is to do some yeshiva sukkah. Even if I do an optional yeshiva sukkah, it's still good enough. It just chiyav means two ways. Am I chayiv to eat this in the sukkah? And am I yotzei, my chiyav to eat something in the sukkah? Okay, now we're ready to go on.
I don't agree with Morty's chakira.
What?
I don't agree with Morty's chakira, because many of the Rishonim, the Uri and Tosfos, bring this over to Shabbos Shabbos too. And whether you're yotzei, well, you can use Mini Targima for Sudas Shabbos.
Okay, fair enough. You're right, there's a whole discussion here as to, it's interesting, in the Rishonim, on the daf, you're hardly going to find anyone. It's always like a havami. It's a minority shita of one version of Ravinu Tam, although it doesn't seem to be what he writes in the Sefer Yashar, who says you can be Yotzei Shal Shudas with Minya Targima. Almost all the Rishonim say you need bread to be Yotzei Shal Shudas. Okay, as we know, Ad Hayom Hazeh, all the mainstream posts get right. Like 90% of Rishonim here say, of course, Shal Shudas, you need bread. Shal Shudas learned from the man, which counts as bread. Right? Echlu Hayom says Hayom three times, referring to bread, because the man counts as bread. So there's a minority shita. You can be yotzei shal shudas with mini targima, and then you have to ask what's mini targima, right? The three shitas of what mini targima is. Halach lemaisa, pretty much all the mainstream poskim say, like 90% of the rishonim, that you have to have bread for shal shudas. 90% of poskim and 90% of rishonim on our sugya say you need bread for shal shudas. 90% of people hold from the other shita mini targima for shal shudas. Okay. You know, what you should do, I will leave to you. Although I always eat bread for Shal Shudas. What?
The Tosfos and Bechoros that we learned with you, Rabbi Nutam went even further and said he didn't eat Shal Shudas altogether. It was just an eighth of Tov,
but
I think it was on
that. Yeah, okay. Anyway, let's move on to the Gemara. Continuing in the Gemara, right? Where did we leave off? I only eat one meal a day. This is when he held whatever stage in his life he held 14 meals. This guy said, but I always eat one meal a day. So on what he had good half mina. Maybe teishu came to do for most people is two meals a day, but my teishu came to do is one meal a day. Maybe each person has their own teishu came to do. The answer is every day you have many appetizers for your own cupboard. You won't eat one appetizer for Hashem. And apparently what he said to him was that, no, even you have to have 14 meals a day, and you have to eat an extra appetizer. Okay, what that means, some people say it means eat an extra appetizer, and that'll whet your appetite, and you'll be able to eat bread twice a day. Or you can just say, an appetizer means mini targima. It says you can't eat bread twice a day, but at least have an extra mini targima, and that'll count. Continuing to the next sugya. Old shalom, you also have another kasha. Apparently, we'll see, Rabbi Eliezer held you need to live in the same sukkah all 7 days. Right. And in the same pasture. Maybe most people need to live in the same sukkah all 7 days, because most people have one domicile. Teishu came to the door. Most people live in one place, so their sukkah needs to be one place. The Avotrobos asks the same question in two different hekitimtses, meaning, can I do my own custom according to my lifestyle? He says, I always have two houses. Why? Because I have two wives in two different places. I have two families, so of course. So I should be able to have two sukkah. For me, that's my dira. So he says, two wives, right? And I have two houses and two sukkahs. Am I allowed to move from one sukkah to another sukkah in the middle of sukkah? And Rabbi Eliezer gave him the same answer. Right? He said, nope, you do not have a custom-made mitzvah sukkah for yourself. You have to follow the same mitzvah sukkah as everyone else. He said, no, shani omer kli yotzmi sukkah sukkah b'tel mitzvah shor shomi shona. Whoever leaves one sukkah and goes to another sukkah is mevatel the mitzvah of the first one, meaning he's not yotze. L'chor. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, ein yotzmi sukkah l'sukkah ve'ein osim sukkah b'chol shel moed. Right? You can't move from one sukkah to another sukkah. I mean, you can't eat in one sukkah 2 days and another sukkah 5 days. And likewise, even if you didn't eat in any sukkah for 2 days, you can't build the sukkah on Chol HaMoed. No, you can move from one sukkah to another, right? Many of us do that. You go to visit relatives, whatever, you go into a different sukkah. Right, you spend the first half by yourself, and the second half at the in-laws, right? And you live in two different sukkahs. No problem. If for some reason you didn't make a sukkah the first half of Yontif, someone was sick in the hospital or something and just got better in Chol HaMoed, then he makes a sukkah for the second half of Yontif. Okay, v'shavin shem nafla shechol zorbon v'chol HaMoed. But everyone agrees that if it falls, you can rebuild it on Chol HaMoed. We'll come back to that. My time to Eliezer. What's Eliezer's reason? Amar krah chagasukos tasel chashivas yamim asei sukkah re'uya l'shiva. It says chagasukos shivas yamim, which means not just you have to, for 7 days, live in some combination of sukkahs, but it means you have to have a sukkah that's fit for 7 days, which means one sukkah that's fit for 7 days. One of the chachamim say back. So the best shot in this gemara is that they're both darshaning for exactly their point. Rabbi Eliezer says, you have to make a sukkah for 7 days. You can't build on a Chol HaMoed, then it's only for 4 days. You have to build it before Yontif. Chachamim say, no, it means for 7 days, you can make a sukkah. All 7 days, you're allowed to build a sukkah. Even if there's only 4 days left, you're allowed to build a sukkah. So that's the pashup shot. They're both darshaning it in two opposite directions. He says you have to make the sukkah to live in for 7 days. And they say, no, during the 7 days, you're allowed to build sukkahs, even if only part of the time is left. Here, just there's a little bit of an ambiguity in the Gemara in terms of Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Rabbi Eliezer says how many things?
Three.
Two things. I mean, not in his whole life. What? Oh, sorry. Okay, fine. How many chumras does he say?
Two.
What does he say? He says, Ein Yotzin Misukkah Lesukkah and Ein Osin Sukkah Be Cholo Shalmoed, or I'll write Becholamoid. Right? And what's the makor of Rabbi Eliezer? Chag HaSukkos Pasel Chashivas Yamin Sukkah Re'uya L'Shiva. What is that the makor of? Is that the makor of, how many lines is this the makor of? That asei sukkah real shiva. Is this the makor of one halacha or two halachas?
Ultimately two, but really just
what? Machlokas. Okay, that's all we say. What does Rashi say? According to Rashi, what's the makor?
It's for two that proves one.
Exactly. According to Rashi, this is because of the drashas, well, sukkah, Haruya l'shiva, right? You have to make a sukkah. And look at Rashi Naman Aleph. Says Rashi, Ein yotzi misukkah l'sukkah. Bita mitzvah shol yishona fil yom sha'avar lov kar ibdan l'mafreya. You retroactively nullify your mitzvah. Ve'ein a mitzvah. Kedi yolof l'kama shtarach l'ishin kol zayim sukkah achas. Like we learn later on. Yolof l'kama, like we learn later on. He says this is also from the drasha of Sukkah Haruya Meshiva. What's the chiddush? This is also in the drasha. Is this a chiddush or is this pashut? That Rashi says they both learn from the same thing. After all, what's the principle? Principle is you need one sukkah for 7 days. That means you can't do 3 days here, 4 days here. It also means you can't do 3 days nowhere and 4 days here. Is there a chiddush to Rashi? What's the chiddush to Rashi? Is this obvious, what Rashi says? Or is when you read the Gemara, you might not have thought that was obvious? What's the drasha? You need a sukkah ha re'uya l'shiva. If I build two sukkahs and I live in one for 3 days and one for 4 days, were both sukkahs re'uya l'shiva?
Yes.
They were, so what's the problem? They were both re'uya l'shiva. What's the problem with switching sukkahs? Aren't they both re'uya l'shiva? So obviously, what does Rashi say? Rashi's chiddush is that you don't just need re'uya l'shiva. You don't just need a sukkah that's right for 7 days. You actually need to live there for 7 days. You don't just need re'uya l'shiva. You really need to live there l'shiva. It's not just meaning the lashon of re'uya l'shiva is just, okay, we're talking about building a chol-moy. You can't build a chol-moy because it's not fit for sitting 7 days. But it's not really you need fit for 7 days. It's really you need to actually live there 7 days. And therefore, even if I build two sukkahs that are fit for 7 days, one sukkah in Tveria, I build on Yud Gimel, and I build a sukkah on Yud Daled in Tzipori. They're both fit for 7 days. But I live in 1 3 days and 1 4 days. I'm not Yotze, because it doesn't really mean you need fit for 7 days. It really means you need to actually live there 7 days.
And this is also Mashman, I guess you want to point out the gears that Rashi had was different. That it wouldn't say Ruya. It said L'shem Chag Shem Asiyonim.
Really?
That's
an Ah, say sukkah l'shem chag shel shivas yamin. Okay. Rashi's gear says l'shem chag shel shivas yamin. Okay. And that's what he says. You can't make a whole moed. And then it's not a sukkah l'shiva. It's not just ru'i l'shiva. Has to be l'shem chag. Okay, great. And that was maybe Rashi's Girsa, right? The stomach was Rashi's Girsa. It sounds like it's a Girsa, not an interpretation. Okay, good. And therefore, maybe it's just Machlokas and Girsos. That's a good Ha'ara. Maybe it's just Machlokas and Girsos. Okay, great. Let us. Thank you. What was Rashi's Girsa?
But other Rishonim have the Girsa that we have, and they said the same thing as Rashi.
Like who?
Like, Rabbi Avraham Minahar, I think.
Avram Min Hahar says, I don't see an Avram Min Hahar. Let's try the Ra'ah. Where's the Ra'ah in this? Anyone want to help me out?
In the beginning.
Great. You're absolutely right. I didn't find the Rav Avraham Minahar, but I'll try the Ra'ah. Says the Ra'ah. Haru'ya l'shiva be'inan. The be'inan sukkah l'shiva. Okay, fair enough.
He's not Rashi, you don't have to say it. L'shem Chag, also L'shem Chag, means that you have to make the sukkah in the beginning like that. It doesn't mean that you can't go from one sukkah to the other if you made your sukkah strong enough.
This is from the drasha of sukkah Haru'ya or L'shem Shiva. And this is from the drashas of sukkah Rashi and the Ra'ah. Sukkah Haru'ya or L'shem Shiva. And what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that it's not enough to have a sukkah that is theoretically Re'uya L'shiva. It's not enough to have a sukkah that's theoretically fit for 7 days. No, you need to actually live there l'shiva. That works very well for the rashi use of l'shem shiva. L'shem shiva means it's not just theoretically raw. You have to actually intend and follow through living your 7 days, although it's not mochach. But even if you're ra'uya, it says ra'uya l'shiva. It doesn't have to mean ra'uya l'shiva. It's ra'uya l'shiva and you do it.
Why can't you say practically right? Why theoretically right? Meaning if you're not living there for the first day, then it's practically not ra'uya l'shiva.
What do you mean? It's ra'uya.
It's not practically. It's not ra'uya.
Okay, we're going to argue about semantics. Okay, and this
according to that
works.
If it rains for 24 hours and you don't live in your sukkah for 24 hours, you messed it all up.
Unless you say one of two things. Either you're going to be very radical, maybe. No. Unless you say that even if it rains and you leave your sukkah, that still counts as living in your sukkah for 7 days because you're there, except you left because of the rain. But you're still kavua there. Remember we talked about kvias dira versus actually the fo'al being there? Maybe as long as your dira is kavua there, that's good enough. I mean, it's okay that you leave for an hour here, an hour there, or even you leave to sleep and eat in the rain, as long as your deer is kavua there and you don't move from Tveri to Tzipori. Okay, especially good for Rashi's girsa, but no matter what girsa it is, of l'shem chag shel shiva yamin, but even in the Raz girsa of Ru'uya l'shiva, that's good enough. However, what's the other option? There's another option. What's the other option? The other option is that no, if you just read the drasha of Sukkah Ra'uya L'Shiva, what case would that cover? Sukkah Ra'uya L'Shiva? Cholashamale. This is because the drasha of Sukkah Ra'uya L'Shiva. Because if you build a Sukkah on Cholashamale, it's not Ra'uya L'Shiva. If I build it on the fourth day, it's only right for four more days. If I build it on the seventh day, it's only right for one more day. Right? It's not right for the 7 days if I build it on Cholashamale. However, if I leave Tveri and go to Tzipori, then both sukkahs are Ra'uya L'Shiva. Maybe that's a different problem. What could be the different problem of leaving one sukkah and going to another? Bizayon. This is because of Bizayon Sukkah Rishona. Maybe it's a Bizayon. Maybe you could say, no, these are not two equal Isurim. The second Isur is because the Isur Dal Raisa, because you're not Mekayim Sukkah Ra'uya L'Shiva. But in the first case, if I just go and turn to Tzipori, they're both Sukkah Ra'uya L'Shiva, right? They're both Sukkah Ra'uya L'Shiva. I take literally, I only need Sukkah Ra'uya L'Shiva. I don't have to live in the Sukkah 7 days, I need Sukkah Ra'uya L'Shiva. Also, what's the problem going to Tzipori? That's a side problem, maybe the Rabbanan problem. That's a side problem of Bizayon, not a problem of a Daraisa of Shivas Yamim. Who holds that it's a problem of Bizayon? Right? Revav is very explicit in the back of the Gemara on the side of the Rif. And the Me'iri. How do I know the Revav? He says very explicitly, the problem is Zayim. He says, the problem of Yotzer Sukkah L'Sukkah is Bizayon Rishona. The problem of Sukkah Chol HaShemoyed is Ein Ra'uya L'Shiva. And the Me'iri says, he just says, you're allowed to go move from one Sukkah to another, and it's not, don't worry, it's not a problem of Bizayon. Implying that, because he passed like the Hafak, implying that according to Ra'uya L'Gezer, it is a problem of Bizayon. Okay, that's a deal. The Meir says, we hold it's not a problem of Zayim. The clear implication is that Eliezer holds it is a problem of Zayim. Okay, so that's just two ways of interpreting this halacha.
The Sukkah has some kind of kedusha to it, that the Zayim is like the chali on Friday night, you have to cover it.
Yes, apparently the Sukkah is a mitzvah. Now, it's a little funny. Why is it the Zayim mitzvah to just move from place to place? Doesn't the guy have another wife? Doesn't he want to spend time with his second wife also? Okay, it's a fish. But yeah, no, so you're not living in Vasa the Sukkah. All mitzvahs, you're not living in Vasa. There's an issue of for Kisei Adam, there's an issue of for Ner Hanukkah, there's an issue of Zayin for Sukkah. So yes, it does have Kedusha. Okay, one last, yes.
The criteria for living, I assume, is Shina, right?
Or what?
Is sleeping.
L'chor, it's eating and sleeping.
I mean, because, I mean, when you have to, in other words,
I think according to Eli, yes, you couldn't go eat.
You have to come back for every meal to your
sleep. I think so. All 14? I think so. In general, even though he gets it from different sukkah, he has a very rigid definition of your relationship to your sukkah, right? 14 meals, not flexible, the same sukkah, not moving around, and we'll see, you own your sukkah, not someone else's sukkah, in a second. Let me just point out, there's another machlokes Bavli in Yerushalmi. Within the Bavli, it's clear. But what's the problem with a sukkah on Chol HaShemoed?
Right? Ein osin sukkah b'Chol HaMoed. Okay, according to the Bavli, it is a din d'oraisa of sukkah haruya l'shiva. According to Yushalmi, why does he say you can't make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed?
Yes.
Right. Just point, yeah, according to Yushalmi, the Talmud will not argue badly. It is a knas, meaning it's a knas because he didn't make it beforehand. By the way, the knas is for violating which halacha? Doesn't say in Yushalmi. The knas is for violating which area of halacha? But I saw in Rechaim Kanievsky appears in Yushalmi, he brought two possibilities. Anyone? Either the knas for violating sukkah. After all, you didn't live in a sukkah for the first day, so you make a knas, you can't live in a sukkah for the rest. And if you say, what do you mean, should make you do more veiros? Yes, the next time around, that everyone else will learn to sit in the sukkah in the beginning. There's another option he brings. What's the other option? Chol HaMoed. If really not going to build a Chol HaMoed for no reason, you should have built before Chol HaMoed. V'chaven melach to HaMoed. Right, so he's masupa with the knas is for meleches Chol HaMoed, that you left the melach until Chol HaMoed, or the knas is for not sitting in the sukkah the first days. Okay, the nafkamin between the Bava and Yushalmi, is what if someone was onus? You know, what if someone was sick in the hospital and got out of the ICU on Chol HaMoed, according to the Bavli? I mean, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we don't pass like him. He still shouldn't make a sukkah in Chol HaMoed, because no point.
That's
according to Yushalmi, he could, because there wouldn't be knas on him.
That's like Eilu Magalchim.
Yeah, exactly. So that could be a big enough game between the Bavli and the Yushalmi, but we're going to leave that for now. Okay, now let's get to the next part of the Gemara.
Henschke did a whole big chiddush with that, didn't he? He tried to connect that to Rabbi Lezer's din, the Knas. I don't remember exactly how we did it, but that was...
Yeah.
In that case, that was
documents.
Maybe, why can't we say it's, somewhat similar to Katan, meaning, if the guy's in the hospital and his lung becomes high, it really ends some sukkah, so it comes back in the as if he had to be.
Okay, but the Gemara doesn't say so. Okay, let's read on a little. I hear the title, but the Gemara's silence is significant. The Gemara asks, "V'shavin shenafla shechol d'rabbanu sum chol HaMoed." Even if Lezer admits, if it falls, you can rebuild a chol HaMoed. Sheet, isn't that obvious? No, modestly, machrisi. You might have thought, you can't, this is a new one. Kamash ve'en el shiva. Kamash, you might have thought, no, if it falls, we rebuild it, this is not for shiva. Kamash, it's the same one. It's a bit of machlokes. What makes it the same one? Right? So Tosa says it's only the same one if you build it with the same wood. But if it falls and let's say it falls and the wind blows away and you need new wood, then just don't even sukkah. Not worth it. You lost your mitzvah. It's not your fault, but you lost your mitzvah. Rashi says, no, what makes it the same one is that you are thinking that you're building it to replace the old one. Right? So for Tosos, what makes it the same one is physical. Same building materials. Mm-hmm. For Rashi, what makes it the same one is psychological, that you are viewing it as a replacement and not a new start. Nafkamina would be, of course, according to Tosos, it only worked with the same building materials. According to Rashi, you could even, let's say it fell down, now you realize you need stronger building materials. You can even use stronger building materials, as long as you're building it to replace it. Theoretically, someone could have said that what makes it the same one is just that it's on the same patch of land. But I didn't see that in the Rishonim. Just in the same location. But I didn't see that in the Rishonim. Rashi sounds like, as long as it's a continuation.
Right, the drush of the means you have to only live in Esra. We all know that. And of course, he doesn't only mean the first night, he means all 7 days, it sounds like. Right? Just like lachem means you have to own your lulav and esro, lecha means you have to own your sukkah. V'chacham im omrim, afri sha'omrim, nadin yotzi dechavas, yom tov, risham, lo shachavero, v'l yotzi dechavas, sukkah shachavero, dechsev kol ezer chachol yeshiva sukkos. Right? But you can be yotzi in someone else's sukkah. Why? It says kol ezer chach bi Yisrael. It says kol ezer chach bi Yisrael, yeshvu basukkos, and the... Okay, it could be the drusha is from the fact that if you look on the side here, first of all, basukos is written chaser. It's really written basukas, not basukos, as the ra'ah and the me'iri point out. So it says kala ezer shol yeshu basukas means all the Jews consider one sukkah, right? And that's what it says. We're going to call yeshu basukah akas. All the Jews consider one sukkah. Oh, they can't all own the sukkah. So it must, as we see, so it must mean that you're allowed to borrow a sukkah. Just in Rabbanan Hai L'cha El of my Darshi Bay. So what are the Rabbanan Darshi L'cha if you don't have to own your sukkah? That means you can borrow a sukkah, but you can't steal a sukkah. Well, she'ul laksiv kol ha'ezrach. She'ul is kashu kol ha'ezrach. Gzula is pasul because of lecha. Here actually is an interesting discussion. I didn't put this in the Makorah sheet because, you know, I wasn't sure philosophically what to do with this. But there's an interesting chakira. Do you davken eat she'ula, or is it okay as long as it's not gezula? Meaning there are two ways to interpret Rabbi Eliezer. The problem is that these two ways are not evenly matched because one is a shita of Samach Ronim and the other is a Mefurish Gemara. What do we say? We say she'ula is kasher, she'ra, and gezula is psula. There are two ways to interpret it. One is that you need she'ula in order to be yotze. What would be the svara? The svara would be that she'ula is actually partially yours. She'ula is a partial bialos. After all, when I lend you something, you have the right to it for now. Exactly. Because, meaning, you need partial bialos. And a shoel has, you know, a shoel owns the right to the usage of this object, right? We know a shoel actually has rights. I'm not getting to all the lumdus, whether a shoel is really an owner or not. There's a Gemara in Bava Metzia that says, she'ilas mimker liyome, schiras mimker liyome, if I rent you something that's selling it temporarily. Of course, there's more in what is our other place, Spiris Lokanya. If you rent something, you don't own it. So obviously, if you rent or borrow something, you partially own it and partially don't. But clearly, you partially own something. In which case, you really need partial bialos. But there's another way. The other way is that, no, you just need not to be, you just need it not to be gzula in order to be yotze. Meaning, one second, meaning, you don't need any bialos or rights. Just gezel is a psol. So is it that you need bialos? Rabbi Lezer says you need full bialos. And the Chachamim say partial bialos of she'ula, of temporary bialos is good enough. And they really mean you need she'ula. And the side point is that gezula is pasul. Well, no, you don't need any rights. You just can't have theft. Just can't be stolen. You really need not to be gezula. And the davka is you need not to be gezula. The side point is she'ula is okay. Nafkamina is, what if it's in between? You didn't steal it, but you didn't actually borrow it. And here we have some nafkaminas, actually. The only problem is, again, I say it's a machluk between a couple of rishonim, a couple of achronim, and a mefurish gemara. And this bothered me so much that I didn't know what to do with it. I was just afraid to discuss it in shiur. And then I actually got so desperate. I looked in the Masifta. And the Masifta says, Sarish Ian on these achronim that they're against the mefurish gemara, and we don't have an answer. There's got to be more than that. But I figure, okay, yeah, that's, you know, that doesn't mean that's the final word. Well, at least it means the final word for today, maybe. So a nafkamina would be, what about a sukkah of hefker? What if it's a sukkah of hefker? Not I go and I acquire it in Sinedith. Then it's mine. There's a sukkah. I don't want this sukkah. I don't want to own this sukkah. Right? I don't want my accountant told me for tax purposes I shouldn't acquire anything. Right? So I find a hefker sukkah and I just say, great, I'll sit here for 7 days. I'll live for 7 days, but I don't want the sukkah. I don't want to own it. Right? I don't know what they were, whatever. I don't account. I want to be an onion and eat demai, right? So I want to be an onion and bring like cheap carbonola viore. So I don't want to own anything. So I don't own the sukkah, I just sit in it. What if the sukkah is hefker? If you say every sukkah is kosher as long as it's not gozel, then it should be kshira, right? But if you say you mamish need rights to it, I don't have rights in hefker, it's hefker. I don't have any more rights than anyone else. And this is the sheet of the Aruch Lener here. The Aruch Lener on our Sugyach of Zayin and Beis says that it is psula because you mamish need kinyone she'ila.
That other side thing to lucha, if you're learning that from lucha, isn't the obvious implication that it's because there needs to be some amount of ownership?
Okay, that works well for lucha,
right? The other option is no, it could be Bederech Remez that you shouldn't steal. I'll give you another nafkamina of the Or Sameach. I'll tell you where the Or Sameach is. It's in Perek Hei of Hilchos Sukkah, Halacha Chaf Hei. But this is based on certain assumptions. How about Gezel Akum, right? Liman da Omar, that it's Mutter. What if Gezel Akum is Mutter? There's a famous Uraim that says, even if Gezel Akum is Mutter, if you steal an esrog from a guy, you're still not Yotzei. It's still not yours, right? If you want to say it's Mutter, say it's Mutter, but it's not yours. So what about Gezel Akum if it's Mutter? So we hold it's Lasser. But let's say Gezel Akum is Mutter. So if you say you just can't have any Gezel, then Pashtos, right? Then you would say probably, and you would say this sukkah is Kshera. After all, there was no Isser Gezel here. But if you say you need to have Bailus, then you don't have Bailus. This is also somewhat, says the Or Sameach. This is in Perek Hei, Halacha Chaf Hei. Says the Or Sameach, he says it's Psula. Why? And he says explicitly, because She'ela is partial Bailus. It's not that you don't need Bailus going to Achamim. You just don't need full Bailus, but you need partial Bailus. She'ela is partial Bailus. And She'ela is partial Bailus. And this is not a partial bialos. Okay, there's another very difficult shut Rashbash. The Rashbash is the son of the Tashbates, who says that Sukkas HaShutfin is puzzle if they don't like lend it to each other. So it's not clear what he means. He might have meant because you're stealing your friend's portion, and therefore it's puzzle because of Gezel. But it could be this would also tie into, this is a very, it's very hard. I'm not going to put this on the board because obviously Sukkas HaShutfin, if they let each other sit there, then of course you're going to say, you have She'ela, right? You're borrowing your friend's share and then he's borrowing your share. But if you have Sukkas HaShutfin and he doesn't let, he doesn't let you, then maybe he just means it's Pusel because it's Gezel. If he doesn't let you, then it's Gezel. Or maybe he means, no, it's not Gezel, but it's not She'ela. And therefore, you know, maybe it would be enough mina, but I'm not going to put this on the board.
He's trying to discuss whether or not She'ela or Shutfus, which one is better or worse.
Yes,
and that's
correct.
His argument with the Rivah.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And Rashi clearly disagrees with that. Because Rashi says, like, from the Kol Ezra, he would say the Sukkah of Shutfim is completely kosher, but that's not practical. So therefore, therefore She'ela. But in his world, like, a Sukkah of Shutfim would be completely kosher.
Right, so he's based more on Tosfos.
What's Sukkah's Kazela? Is it place?
So hold that thought. Good. So, just look, give it for 1 second on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Second line. Tana Rabbanan Sukkah Gzula V'Amasak B'Shus HaRabim. A stolen sukkah, or if you put Tzchach in B'Shus HaRabim and steal the street. Rabbi Eliezer Posach HaMashim Rish said, this is possible, but Chum, we follow, says Kasher. I'm Rav Nachman, what's the case? My Chlok is Shus HaTokas Gavir Osir Masukosah. Chlok is if you grab your friend, kick him out of the sukkah and steal his sukkah. Rabbi Eliezer Latami Domer Eina the Yotzi de Chavas Sukkah Shachavei. Rabbi Eliezer holds you're not Yotzi in someone else's Sukkah, so you're not Yotzi. And Ikarka and Exela Sukkah Exulahi, Vinami Karka and Exela Sukkah Shulahi. And if you can steal Karka, it's a stolen Sukkah. And if you can't steal Karka, it's a borrowed Sukkah. It's not yours. Rabbanan Tamay Domer Odin Yotzi de Chavas Sukkah Shachavei. The Chacham say if I kick my friend out of the Sukkah, I beat him up, throw him out of the Sukkah, and I sit there, I'm Yotzi. Because I'm Yotzi in someone else's Sukkah. The Karka and Exelis, because you can't steal land. The Sukkah Shulahi, and therefore it's borrowed. What do they mean by this? I beat someone up, throw him out of the sukkah, and I'm yotzei. Why? He lent it to me? Really? He lent me the sukkah? No. Why is it? Because technically you can't steal land. You can't steal real estate.
Karka in Megzelis.
What? Karka in Megzelis. So now, isn't this clear which side of the hakir it's on? What about gazal karka she'ena Megzelis? If you said, I really need partial rights to the sukkah, then it should clearly be psula. I don't have any rights, meaning I didn't technically do gzela, but I clearly have no rights here because you didn't let me be here. I threw you out. But if you say that as long as it's not gzula, this is the Gemara, and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph says, no, it's actually kshera, you yotze. Why? Because it's not gzula. And basically, they call it she'ula because it's not gzula. Say, oh, this is like a borrowed sukkah. What do you mean a bar at sukkah? I don't have any rights to this. I kicked you out of your sukkah. You think I have rights here? Of course I have no rights here. It's just that technically I didn't steal anything because you can't steal land. In which case, the Gemara is very mefurish on the second side of this chakira, that you don't actually need the rights of she'ila to be yotze according to the chabad. You just need to not have a formal gezel. As long as you don't have gezel, it's good enough. So if I steal your sukkah and it's on land, basically, according to this, the only way I'm not yotze is if I steal your sukkah mobile. Right? Without getting to Rabbi Kiva Eger there, which we'll come back to, a very deep Rabbi Kiva Eger. Tosas says, the only time I'm not yotze according to the chabad is if I steal your sukkah mobile, because then it's mamish gezel. But if I steal your sukkah on the ground, then I am yotze, because it's not really guzzle. This is very clear that I don't need any rights to be yotze. I can even be yotze if I kick you out of your sukkah. So, it's machlok seeing the Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph and the Or Samech and the Orch Laner. Okay, how to be miyashev, how they explain the Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph, I don't know. And maybe by the time we get to the Lamed Aleph, someone will figure it out.
It's not really magbil. It's not a parallel, because this Shailah, there's no kinyan making. You're not transferring property from one Yishuv to another. So this Shailah is a different kind of Shailah than Zegla. I mean, generally, Zegla, Shailah, and Zegla, both of them can have a Shvuas HaPikado, right?
Okay.
And you can't have a Shvuas HaPikado and I'm letting a guy use your house. It's
okay.
Not the same transfer.
Okay, but I'm not sure how that changes anything on this board. You're right. I'm just not sure how that changes anything I put on the board.
I'm wondering if the whole question is correct.
Maybe the whole chakir. Okay. Anyway, okay. Kitzer, let me just point out, the Rabbanan basically have a classic excluded middle here. They say Sheul is kosher and Gzul is pasul. Do they mean you davka need mamash of the rights of a borrower who has legal standing in order to be yotze because you have partial bailus? Or do they mean no? Shaula just means neutral. You yotze neutrally as long as you didn't do chalos gesel. The Aruch Haner says no. You need mamash shaula hefker. You're not yotze. The Aruch Sameach says you need mamash shaula gesel akum. You're not yotze even if it wasn't an avera. However, the Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph says you don't need shaula. You just need it not to be gesel. There's just a tnai of shaula. You just need, there's just a psul of gezel. And therefore they say, if I actually do steal your sukkah by kicking you out, I'm taka yotze, because since technically it's not gezel, it's karka in exelus, that counts as sheula and I'm yotze. So they make it clear, you don't actually need partial bailus.
Mitzvah b'avin avera, are you yotze mitzvah b'chlal?
Aha, so Tosos famously asked the kasha of, how come, by the way, agav, the one thing that works well for the Aruch Laner and the Or Sameach is, you'll ask the question, why do they need a drusha to pasul sukkah gzula? Isn't it pasul because of mitzvah bav avir anyway? According to the Aruch Haner, you need the drusha for hefker. According to the Or Sameach, you need the drusha for gezel akum if it's not an avera. However, all the Rishonim give other answers to that question. Why? Because they hold like the Mordaf Laman Aleph. Taka, the only thing that's pasul is gezel mamish. Then why isn't that pasul anyway because of the mitzvah bav avira? So all the Rishonim give answers to that question, including the most famous answer of Tosas, mitzvah bav avira is only drabana. That this psul is doraisa. And we'll learn the other answers later.
When you say karka shakulah, isn't the person saying, I'm forbidding you to use my karka? It's more than gezela.
But it's still not gezel.
But it's an Ezer, yeah, but you're giving
trespassing is not gezel.
But it's Ezer Hanah from there.
It doesn't matter. It's still not gezel.
It's not gezel.
If I break into your house and live in your house without permission, and you shout at me to leave, and I say, no, I'm staying anyway, that's not technically gezel.
Yeah,
now, yesh ladon, but that's not technically gezel. What is it? Okay, maybe we'll get to it. But this Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph is a chiddush. It's more than you need to go against the Aruch Laner and the Or Sameach. But, as Morty points out, okay, we'll come back to it. Let's go by it. Continuing in the Gemara, says the Gemara, just tie up two lines and then tie up one point.
The Rashi Tosfos?
Yeah, give me a second. I'm just going to first finish the Gemara. And then we'll come back to it. Rabbi Eliezer, I call Ezra my Avid. What is he, Darshim, call Ezra Pishol Yeshiv Sukkos? And finally, the Gershon is Garibin Simon, Koshin is Galibin Tayim. He says, Kola Ezrach means everyone, not everyone can be one sukkah. Everyone can build a sukkah. Even a ger, who is a Sgarim Kolomoi, who has a sukkah that's not for Shiva, and even a katan, who's bar mitzvah, who has a sukkah that's not for Shiva, is still allowed to build a sukkah, because for them, there's an exception, and since they weren't Jewish, or weren't mitzvah in the Torah yet, rather, then they're allowed to build a sukkah even for less than 7 days. For Rabban, Hai Lecha, my Darshim, Vayla, Lutik Zula, sorry, For Rabbanan, came Sharmur also said, "Kol Shavani lo etzirkra." The Rabbanan obviously don't need a pasuk to say a ger or a katan shin is gadol can make a sukkah kolamoy. They don't let anyone can make a sukkah kolamoy. Great. Now we just have to deal with this one Rashi Tosfos, right? Chesky, who asked this certain question. The question they ask is thus: how do the Chachamim know from Kol Ezra Kishon Yeshu Basukos that Sukkah Sheula is kosher? After all, there's another way you could have interpreted that pasuk. Why can all Jews live in one sukkah?
So we say,
referring to Sheula. What did the Chachamim say? One second. What do we say? We say that Kol Yisrael Basukah Achas equals Sukkah Sheula. What's the question of Rashi?
Why? Who says Sukkah Sheula is kosher? Maybe it means Alidei Shutfus. Maybe all the Jews chipped in for a sukkah, right? What about the tax money? Right, maybe they all chipped in for a sukkah.
How do we know? Maybe only shutfus is kosher. So the question is, maybe only sukkas hashutfin is kosher, technically kshera. Not sukkah sheula. How can we learn? How do we know the sukkah sheula? Maybe it's coming to be matched with sukkas hashutfin and not sukkah sheula. Okay, what does Rashi answer?
No, because of the lack of the shutfin.
Rashi says that it can't be Sukkas HaShutfin because each Shutaf has less than a Shavar Pruta. Because each Jew has Pachos Mi Shavar Pruta, and Pachos Mi Shavar Pruta does not count as ownership.
Now here, you could, if you want to, interpret Rashi more radically, but I won't. Does Rashi really mean less than a Shavar Pruta I don't own, like it's Hefker?
No.
That's a little hard for you to imagine. I'd much prefer to say, especially based on the Mar later on Daf Lamed Hey, about having Din Mamon, he doesn't mean I don't own it, it's Hefker. What does that mean? Think about it. If 100 of us chip in to buy something that costs 99 Prutas, and we each own less than a Pruta, does that mean it's Hefker and like some guy from the street could take it?
No. It's really hard to imagine that. But maybe what he means is it's not called Lecha, right? Has Pachos Mi Shavar Pruta, and Pachos Mi Shavar Pruta is not called Lecha. Meaning, when you have a ritual requirement of Lecha, owning something less than a Shavar Pruta doesn't count as Lecha because you don't own anything valuable.
We're dealing with the Chachamim here, so Lecha is not anti-Gozel.
No, but that's in the Maskana of the Chachamim, but we don't know that yet. We're still working on the Drasha. Meaning, we're still working on the drush of the Chachamim.
You're asking from the Maskana of the Chachamim.
We're not up to Maskana yet. What's the reason for the Chachamim? Because Kol Yisrael must mean Sheula. But we're undercutting the Chachamim. Who says Kol Yisrael is Sheula? Maybe Sheula is possible and Kol Yisrael is Shutfus.
So that's what Rashi says. And Rashi seems to be Lashitase, because what does he say later on in Daf Lamed Hey and Aleph? That why is an Esrog of Isra Hana apostle? Because?
No.
Because it's not Ainbo din mamon. How does Rashi translate? That's the Gemara. Says Rashi that she'eno shavar pruta di surei hanahu hilkach lav shalachem hu. If it's not shavar pruta, it's not called shalachem.
And this is l'shitase on daf lamed hey amen aleph that he says by an esro shel isurei hanah that he says. Pachos, me, that something that's eno shavar pruta, eno shavar pruta is not called shelachem.
Right.
Again, I don't know if that necessarily means that anything under a pruta doesn't belong to you. That's hard to say.
We all know that if I own something worth less than a pruta, it still belongs to me. You can't just come take it with a chachila.
Right, it clearly belongs to me, but it means it's not called shalachem. Shalachem means it has financial value to me. It means I have financial value.
What's the drasha Rashi Lamaskana?
What?
What's the drasha Rashi Lamaskana?
Lamaskana by Esrog, you kaka need shalachem and you need shavar pruta. Okay. Lamaskana here, since
If we darshan l'cha the normal way, you would need pruta, and then shutfim wouldn't be good enough. So how could all the Jews sit in one sukkah? It must be through borrowing. Then, l'maskana, then we don't darshan shalacha that you need actual ownership. We just darshan shalacha that you can't steal it. So in the end, you don't need it.
So you don't need klezer at l'cha.
In the end, you don't need l'cha by sukkah.
You need l'cha by sukkah. He still has l'cha by sukkah for guzzle.
For guzzle, right. In the end, l'cha doesn't mean you need to own it. It just means it can't be guzzle. So less than shalacha pruta is good enough.
So why doesn't klezer just mean shutfim and not mean...
Because it can't mean shutfin. Because if you, what are your two options? Let's just clarify the two options for Rashi. What are the two options for Rashi? Either you could say lecha means ownership, or you could say lecha means not guzzel. If lecha meant ownership, then how can Kol Yisrael sit in one sukkah? If it's shutfas, that's not lecha. Shutfas is not lecha because less than shava pruta. And she'ela is not lecha because it's not ownership. And therefore it can't be, right? Therefore, we duck you out of observing. So it must be. So therefore you have, how do you say we duck you out of observing? Well, not in Latin. Therefore, it's impossible, right? You can't say l'cha means ownership. So l'cha meant ownership, then how could the Jews sit in one sukkah? She'el is not ownership, and even shuvah is not ownership, it's not pruta. So it must be that it's just l'mutei guzzle, and that's why Kol Yisrael can sit in one sukkah. Right?
Okay, so why is it referring to shutfus?
What?
Why is it referring to shutfus as opposed to she'ula?
Because it can't refer to shutfus, because this shutfus doesn't count as l'cha shutfus.
In l'maskan, there's no l'cha doesn't matter for ownership. L'cha is about guzzle.
Right.
So how do we know Kol Ezra versus she'ula and not just shutfus?
Because shutfus is she'ula. Okay, let me say better. It can't be sukkah shutfin. So limaskana, Kol Yisrael can't refer to shutfus because shutfus is halachically insignificant if it's pachos b'shaver pruta. Right? So it can't be referring to shutfus and not she'ela, because that's halachically insignificant if it's pachos b'shaver pruta. And you can say, maybe you're taking an exception and saying shutfus pachos b'shaver pruta is significant. No, it doesn't make sense to make an exception to the normal rules of bias.
So it didn't shutfus b'chlav.
What? Yes, exactly.
She'ela is more than the shaver pruta.
What?
She'ela is more than shaver pruta.
First of all, I'm mashil the whole sukkah to you. But it doesn't matter because this is all l'cha, meaning that l'cha means ownership. L'maskana, l'cha doesn't mean ownership, especially if you take this side of the chafira. Let's take this side of the chafira. L'maskana, l'cha doesn't mean ownership. Okay, I am. How can I express this more clearly? The havamin is that l'cha means ownership. The maskana, l'cha doesn't mean ownership. Okay. In the havamin, l'cha meant ownership, we said, then Kol Yisrael couldn't sit in one sukkah. Right? If Kol Yisrael could sit in one sukkah, that shows you don't need ownership. Once you don't need ownership, you don't need ownership. Okay, let's go to Tosfos. Says Tosfos.
But for Rashi Sheila, doesn't mean ownership.
Right.
Even in this havamin, it doesn't mean ownership at this point. Why are you taking it to mean that?
Oh, am I? Okay.
Are you?
No, I didn't think I was.
Okay.
I thought I was.
How are you differentiating from Rashi at the moment between why Sheila good and Shutfus no good if there is no Shavakruta in either?
Okay.
Let me try to do this
wait
a little differently.
Wait till after Tosus and then
no.
Contrast.
I'm obviously not communicating well here. You're all going to have to stay in detention, though. it's not my fault. Maybe it is. I don't know. What we're saying is that here's a disproof, let's say better, disproof to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds that lecha means you need to own it. Right? And what do the Chachamim say? The Chachamim's disproof is Kol Yisrael Bisukah Achas. Proves you don't need to own it. Why? Proves you don't need to own it. How does it prove you don't need to own it? How does this prove you don't need to own it? So says Rashi, because if it meant shutfus owning hachos mishavar pruta is not called owning, right? Owning pachos mishavar pruta is not called owning, and therefore would help. And if it meant she'ela is not owning, is not called a lecha of owning, and she'ela is obviously is not a lecha of owning, so therefore it must be that lecha of sukkah doesn't mean owning. Right, that's Rashi. Now, what does Tosos say, on the other hand? Tosos, at least at first, says you don't need that. Why not? You don't need anything about Shavu Pruta. Why? Because Tosos says, look in the Gemara in Chulin. Gemara in Chulin discusses who's chayiv in various things. Right? Who's chayiv in Truma and Chala and Peya and many, many other things. And what does it say? Whenever the Torah used the word lecha, what does that exclude? Exclude shutfas. Then if the Torah goes back and says, it says Ariso say chem, so in chem it includes shutfas. What does Tosos say? Tosos says very pasha, that lecha of owning by definition means full ownership. Means, let me say it better, means 100% ownership, as proven in Chulin. Lecha of means 100% ownership, and therefore, if the sukkah was shutfas, it's automatically not lecha of owning. Because lecha of owning means 100%, lemutei shutfas. And if the sukkah was she'ula, then it automatically is not lecha of owning. Therefore, what did the Chacham conclude? It must be that the lecha of sukkah doesn't mean owning, and that's why they disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning everyone knows there are two ways to explain all the Jews sitting one sukkah. They could be shutfin, or they could be sholim. If they're sholim, then that proves you don't need ownership. What if they're shutfin? So says Tosos, if they're shutfin, whether it's more or less than a pruta. By definition, shutfin doesn't fit in the word lecha of ownership, because lecha of ownership means 100% ownership, as proven in Chulin. Rashi says, no, shutfos could fit the word lecha of ownership, if it was a pruta. But since it's not a pruta, then it can't be called lecha of ownership, and that's why you don't need lecha of ownership. That's the difference between Rashi and Tosos. Meaning, what's the yesod ha-machlokas between Rashi and Tosos? There's two
you know, what's the lumdish machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos? 2 points, I think. 1 point is not clear. Tosfos says you don't need Rashi. One is that Rashi thinks lecha means at least a pruta. And Tosfos, yeah, he didn't say arguing Rashi. He just says, you know, at first. Tosfos, this is Tosfos at first. Right? Tosfos at first, at least. Tosfos could say, we don't know. He never takes on Rashi. He just says his other thing. Could say that lecha means even pachos mishavapruta. So maybe there's some machlokas about shavapruta. Rashi thinks lecha means more than a pruta, and therefore anything less than a pruta is not lecha of ownership. Lecha of ownership, right? Lecha of owning. Of owning means more than a pruta, so less than a pruta is not called owning. And the Tosfos could disagree. The second disagreement is that Tosfos thinks that lecha of owning means 100% ownership. While Rashi seems to think, Rashi thinks that lecha, that Rashi seems to think that lecha of owning, meaning let's say it was more than a shavar pruta, Rashi seems to think that lecha of owning could mean even a 1% share, right?
Yeah.
Even shofas, even a 1% share. And he says it could mean. In the end, it doesn't mean that by lulav.
No, but I mean, it could mean that Rashi is restricting shofas. You don't have to sit in the whole thing.
Okay, good. So in the end, according to Rashi, why by lulav isn't it okay to have a 1% share? So the answer could be because Rashi, there are two ways to answer this. Either because Rashi thinks that by lulav and esrog you need shalim, chaser is a problem, so therefore you need 100% ownership. Or it could just be because, it could mean this if you had a pasuk to tell you this. But in lulav, there's no pasuk to tell you otherwise. It could mean even a 1% share if there was a pasuk to imply this. That's the simple answer. In esrog, there's no pasuk that tells you a 1% share is good enough. So that's why you have to own your esrog entirely, right? So that everyone says, how come the kahal buys an esrog with shutfas? The answer is, no, shutfas is not good enough for esrog. It's first more about vasra. Really, the reason why the shul used to buy an esrog in Europe is because they would just give each person as a full matana l'as l'hachzer. Okay, but what does Rashi mean? Because by sukkah it says lachem, and there's no counter pasuk. So therefore you need full ownership. But by sukkah, at least we could have thought in the Havmina, if it said lecha, but it said kol yishol b'sukkah achas, and there was a counter pasuk, we might have made a pshara to say 1% shira is good enough, except for the fact that it was less than a pruta. So these are the two yesodos going on here. The two yesodistic differences going on here between Rashi and Tosfos. Okay, hopefully now I haven't even said anything yet. I've just said over Rashi, and I've just said over Tosfos. Let me just point out, I'm going to apologize. I'm going to go for 5 minutes. I need to at least finish two times ago Makoros, and I won't go into it too deeply, just mamish 5 minutes. Interesting, what could be, okay, I'll skip a lot. What could be the yesod of the machlokas here? Why does Tosfos think? No way, no how, at least at first. I'm not even at first. It says, it's impossible that lecha can mean less than 100%. If it means lecha of ownership, has to mean 100%. If it, either there's a lecha of memutek zula or lecha of ownership. Lecha of ownership has to be 100%. Why can't Tosfos think of the idea that lecha of ownership can mean a 20% share, while Rashi says it could have meant the 20% share if it was shavu pruta? So you might just say stam rules of drushas, or you might say that the famous chakira about the nature of shutfas, which all comes out of the Shara Mishpat that I put in brackets in the next one, that does shutfas mean I only, if I'm shutf in this table, does that mean I only own one slice of the table?
Right.
Or does that mean I own all of the table, but right, so do you? Does shutvus mean I only own part of it, or I own all of it, but you also own all of it, so we share?
Nafkamina, the Shaar Mishpat says, what if I am a shutuf with a ger who has no family and he dies? Do I automatically own all of it or not?
If a shutuf only owned half of it, then I own half of it, the other half is hefker. If a shutuf owned all of it, but the other guy also owned all of it, now the other guy died and has no heirs, I own all of it. Maybe that's... So you could say that Tosfos thinks that a shutuf only owns half of it. So of course a shutuf can't be lecha of ownership.
While Rashi might think that no, a shutuf owns all of it, just so does the other guy.
But that still could qualify for lecha of ownership. Or they could just be arguing about drushes.
So what is the Yesod HaMachlokes? The Yesod HaMachlokes is either rules of drusha or the lumdus of shutfus. Okay, what about this?
Why does Rashi think lecha means at least a pruta, while Tosfos thinks lecha can mean any amount, or might think if he disagrees with Rashi?
So what's this Yesod HaMachlokes? So here, it's not so clear, because Tosfos seems to be Pashut. Pashut. After all, you can own something less than a pruta. Everyone knows if you own a paperclip that's worth less than a pruta, I can't steal it from you. Rashi here is a chiddush. Rashi is a chiddush. That Rashi seems to be a chiddush in drasha. L'cha means what? Financial stake. Rashi is a chiddush that l'cha of ownership means financial value. It's not just that it's mine and not yours. It has to be worth something to me. Here we get into the famous kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch has a famous kasha on Rashi. They ask the Minchas Chinuch on Rashi, he says, how could it be that l'cha means it needs a pruta? Then in many places, arava is worth less than a pruta. Then I can't be yotzei with an arava because it's worth less than a pruta.
Matzah, a kazayis of matzah worth less than a pruta. Remember, in the old days, a kazayis was an olive. A kazayis of matzah is worth less than a pruta. A kazayis of marmer is worth less than a pruta. So how can I be yotzei with the kazayis of matzah with the arava if it's worth less than a pruta? Kasha them in chaschinach.
I don't know. So here you have the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch, and you have two ways to answer. One way to answer is in Hachinami. In Hachinami, you're not Yotzei anything that needs Lachem with Pachos Mishav Pruta. How am I Yotzei Matz and Arava? So the Achronim give a clever answer. It's not worth a Pruta. But when at Sukkot time, the Arava is worth a pruta, because all the Jews need it for shul. And on Pesach time, the matzah is worth a pruta, because the Jews need it for a seder. They need shmer matzah. Worth a heck of a lot more than a pruta, if you'll excuse my French. But so that's what you could say. But the seasonal price is high. And luckily, since there's enough Jews that they drive up the price of Arava, say, after all, we all pay a shekel per Arava, or two or three shekels per Arava, or five shekels per Arava, more than a pruta, and we all pay a fortune for matzah more than a pruta, so therefore it's no problem. Or you could say, this is what the Rav and all the and the Athanasian and all the Achronim say, is that Rashi never meant it. But here you have a problem. Rashi said twice you'd need to be worth a pruta. And what the Rav says, which is basically what the Ebenezer says, is that he didn't really mean it needs a pruta. He meant two separate things. Rashi never meant it. He just meant two things. A, it needs to be worth something, and therefore Isser Hanah is worth nothing is no good. Lav davka pruta. He just meant it needs to be worth something, and Isser Hanah is worth nothing. And he meant that if you can't control it, then it needs to be worth a pruta. What Rashi just meant is, he didn't mean everything needs to be worth a pruta. Now, rabba that's not a pruta is lachem. Matzah that's not a pruta is lacha. What did Rashi mean? He meant only two cases of problem. Isra Anah is a problem, because it's not just not worth a pruta. It's not worth anything. It's Asra Anah. And number two, shutfus is a problem, it's not worth a pruta. Why? Because if my matzah is not worth a pruta, I can put it in my pocket and take it with me and tell you not to take it.
If my rub is not worth the pruta, I could put it on my shelf and lock it in my house. If I have a shutfus that's not worth the pruta, what can I do with it? I can't take it with me because I'm only a shutuf. I can't control it because I'm only a shutuf. I can't tell everyone what to do with it because I'm only a shutuf. And it's not worth anything to me. So if I can't do anything to show my control and it's not worth money, then that's afkav lachem. I can't sell it for a pruta and I can't do anything with it. That's afkav lachem. What Rashi's saying, maybe you could even go so far as to say that the problem with the Isura Anah is the same thing. I can't use it and it's not worth a pruta. If it would be worth a pruta, that would be lachem, even if I couldn't control it. If I could control it, that would be lachem, because I could put it in my pocket and take it around like a bialim even without a pruta. But since practically I can't do anything with it, and financially it's not worth a pruta, then that's afkav lachem. In which case, it's only Isra Hanan Shutfus is a problem, because either Isra Hanan is worth nothing or better. You want to make it tzara shaveh. Isra Hanan Shutfus are both things which are not worth a pruta, and I can't actually do anything with. Okay, then that's afkav lachem. But matzah and arava and morer, which I can put in my pocket, of course that's lachem. So, okay, not exactly what I put on the board. Okay, everyone, one thing just I didn't get a chance to point out, which is I talked about Tosos in at first. Tosos in the end retracts, but he didn't really have to retract. The Rav and the Rivash explain why Tosos didn't really have to retract and could have stayed with what he said in the beginning. And I'll leave you to figure that out on yourself. Tosos retracted, he says, it's a mafurish gemara by tzitzis that if you have a counter pasuk, then she'ula is excluded, but shufas is included. So to here, if you have a counter pasuk, she'ula should be excluded, but shufas should be included. The answer is, of course, as the Rebush says, tzitzis is not what you used to be yotzei. It's what's mechayev you. The beged is what's mechayev you. The suk is what you used to be yotzei. Just because shutfus could be mechayev you in a mitzvah doesn't mean you can use shutfus to be yotzei in a mitzvah. But I will leave that for you, and I'll pick up with sheet 18 in Amir Toshen next time.